there. I am Gary Parrish. Welcome back. I own College Basketball Podcast. We are.
We are here. What I think just happened, is GP thought he was on the Gary Parrish show. I think that's what was about to just happen.
I was about to be presented by something.
You know what? Go ahead. I don't care. No. You think anyone's going to put up a stink? You want to just toss an additional sponsor?
Welcome back to the I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Now I'm on track. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, honor Brandon Davies the only way that he would respect. You got to smash that like button. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the I Own College Basketball Podcast, please also do that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hold on. Before we keep going, have you ever unintentionally started the Gary Parrish show on Grind City Media by saying dodo birds and leaky black? Have you ever done that or almost? Have you pump faked yourself there?
I have never, but where I have really had to catch myself multiple times is when we are doing this on television, on CBS Sports Network, and I'm constantly throwing to breaks in ways that we don't normally throw to breaks here. And it's like, and we'll do that next here on the I Own College Basketball Podcast. And it's very easy for me to say next here on the Gary Parrish Show presented by Ortho South. Like, that's just sort of the words that come out of my mouth. And I've had to catch myself multiple times there. This was honestly just, I don't know. I spaced out a little bit. How you doing?
I do love it. I love a little curveball. Did you say Ortho South? All right. I'll try and work them into the no context preview.
Oh, they're going to appreciate that. That's very nice. Hey, that's where I get my hamstring fixed. That's where I got my double tennis elbow fixed. Ortho South is, I've been through wars with Ortho South. All right.
By the way, I might have to, I'm good right now, knock on wood, serious allergy situation going on up here in Connecticut. I did not bring any tissues up here with me. If I start sneezing, I might have to bail for about 90 seconds on this pod, but we're good right now. I might be jinxing it just by saying that, but I wanted to give you the heads up in case that happened. Yes.
Is this wild? Among the things that people experience in life that I have no understanding of, because I don't have this at all.
Don't even tell
me. Allergies. I have no allergies. I'm allergic to nothing. I don't even sneeze. I don't think I sneeze. No. I don't think I've ever sneezed.
There's no way that's true.
I don't think I've ever sneezed.
That's not true. Mm-mm. I've seen you sneeze.
No, you can't prove that.
Yes. Because you've got a very gentle, quiet sneeze. I remember when it happened. I was like, what was that?
In reality, I have sneezed. You know what? I don't want to come on here and start lying fresh off on a Tuesday morning. I plead guilty. I've sneezed before. But I'm like a 7 sneeze in a row guy. I can't do just one. It's a little bit like a Dorito. I can't eat one Dorito and I can't sneeze one time. It's 0 or 7.
Yes. Now that you say that, I do remember. I remember this happened at one time we went to dinner and you did a bunch in a row. But I want to say you're not a loud sneezer. Like,
not a loud sneezer, but buddy, I can go like pop, 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 pop on you real quick. Like, achoo, achoo. I'll do like 7 achoos on you. And this is where it gets uncomfortable and awkward for me. And then we'll talk about stupid basketball, I guess.
Yeah.
Because then somebody hears you sneeze. I don't know if they do this up there where God you heathens. Yeah, I don't know if they do this up there where you heathens live. But down here in the South, it's pretty common practice. Somebody sneezes, somebody else says, bless you. And so I go, achoo, and they go, bless you. And then I go, achoo, and they're like, bless you. And then achoo, and they're like, bless you. And I'm like, just stop till the end. Can you hold shut up for a second? Hold your bless yous to the end. It's like they tell you at graduation. Like, we can't be clapping for every single kid that got a 71 in science class. All right. Let's let them all go through and clap at the end, get this thing over with. Same way I prefer my bless yous. I appreciate the bless you. I like to be blessed, but I don't need to be blessed 7 times in a row by your grandmother. You know, let's just let me get all my achoos out and then bless me at the end and let's move on.
I do have sound of GP sneezing, by the way.
I wish I sneezed like a peacock. What if I sneeze like a peacock? Wouldn't that be fun?
Incredible. You claiming not to have allergies is an outrage, but that's... Kentucky fans are already furious. We've gotten 5 minutes into this show and haven't talked about the biggest news related to their program.
Okay, good news, Kentucky fans. If the allergies kick in for Norlander and he has to step away, I'm going to be fine because I have sneezed before, but I don't plan on doing it at any point in the next 50 minutes or so. Let's get to the news. After a weekend of contemplating or whatever, Milan Momcilovic, the former Iowa State standout, has announced a commitment to Kentucky. Go Big Blue. The price for UK is reportedly an NIL deal worth around $6 million, which is at least three times what the 6'8" shooter made last season at Iowa State. And I believe probably even more than that. It is the latest bit of evidence that prices have skyrocketed for college basketball players. Clear byproduct of the issues in the Strait of Hormuz. Norlander, walk us through this. Can you explain to folks hanging out with us how Mark Pope beat Pat Kelsey and his hot wife and his healthy kid and the Louisville Cardinals for the Iowa State transfer who was the best remaining player in the portal?
Yeah, not only the best remaining player in the portal, number two per our portal rankings. Louisville did get number one, Floyd Badunga. And then for a little bit there, there was a question of, is Louisville going to land the top two players in the portal? But Momcilovic, they finalized all of the contract stuff throughout Monday and then into Monday evening. They got it done. Yes, I was told in the neighborhood of $6 million. I think it's going to be a little bit more than that. St. John's removed itself from the conversation once Yesufu committed there, just like Momcilovic, a fringe first-round pick. He's going to be paid handsomely, not as much as Momcilovic, to go and play for the Johnnies. And then Arizona, although it entered the conversation and did so late, it was never really like in there. It wasn't willing slash able to commit on the financial level that Louisville and Kentucky were. My understanding, Kentucky did have the largest financial package on the table from Momcilovic. But Louisville was pushing. I mean, there was still, as of Monday afternoon, like it was still something of a question of if he would definitely go to Kentucky. It was still on the table, but then they were able to get that done. And Momcilovic made the right decision in this regard sitting here right now today. I mean, he's going to make so much more money next season, going to play for a premier program in college basketball. He's going to play for a coach that's had three top 15 per possession offenses in his career, Pope has. And one of those top 15 was when they were 10th overall at KenPom in year one in Lexington. Keep in mind, you know, Momcilovic, he averaged 16 and change, almost 17 points last season, shot 48% from 3-point range. He's a career 42%, 42.7% 3-point shooter, something like that, GP. And he did that while not being the focal point of a scheme that Otzelberger ran at ISU. They squeezed a ton out of him. Like, that was a mutually beneficial relationship, and it is a stinger for Iowa State fans to, you know, they've lost a lot of really, you know, between their coach going to Penn State, and I, you know, I'm all too aware of how things are, you know, they're a bit bittersweet here for Iowa State, and not just in men's basketball, but you lose Momcilovic. They couldn't financially compete with all this, but you know what? Yeah, at least you didn't lose your coach. At least Otzelberger is still sticking there and still around. I do think this is going to be the best season of Momcilovic's career. Like, he's going to go to Kentucky. He's gonna have his career. I think he'll average more than 17 points next season, GP. I think he'll shoot more three-pointers next season than he ever has in his college career. I think his usage rate will be the highest that it'll ever be next season. Will it translate? We can get deeper into this in just a minute here. I just wanted to give kind of the backdrop of how this all this played out. But will it translate to, you know, big time success for Kentucky next season? Can they be a top three, a top four team in the SEC? Well, you take a look around, look at GP's offseason top 25 and one. There's a lot of teams that got some real deal rosters there. So that remains to be seen. But the bottom line here for Pope, as I wrote a column about it, you can read that at .com, or we'll drop the link in here after the fact on the YouTube description or in the audio files here. You can tap through and give that a read. Mark Pope got the win he needed. Like, he can have the next 5 months to live in some peace. They had a lot of high profile whiffs, none more high profile than someone who wasn't a transfer, Tyron Stokes, who chose Kansas over Kentucky. But the past 8 days, GP, big time swing for Big Blue Nation. You had Malachi Marino, who we thought was going to come back, but there was at least a little bit, there was, you know, a few days worth of, is he actually going to stay? Like, is this dude going to try and go and see if he can somehow turn himself into like the 28th or 29th pick? No, he comes back, gets paid a handsome amount there. And then Momcilovic swings for Kentucky. And not only that, but does so and doesn't pick Louisville in the process. That was the other part of this that I thought was just so huge. If Mark Pope had lost out on Momcilovic, who picked Louisville instead, one, Louisville, I think, would have had a top five roster. I don't think you can make much of a case against it if you add him to what they already have. So it would have been that and another high profile whiff. And it would have been utter calamity and chaos in Lexington going into next season. They avoid that altogether, and now it's a bright, shiny day down there in that part of the state. And good on Pope for getting it done. They get it done. It's going to cost them a pretty penny. Between Marino and Momcilovic, they're going to spend $10 million plus on two players alone. This also means Kentucky will pay for its roster in the realm of what it did last season. When it was reported $22 million, I'd always been told it was around that $20 million mark. Regardless, they're going to spend $20 million plus again. They're hardly alone. There's going to be at least 10 schools that are paying at least that amount of money next season. But this is the get for Kentucky that assures they're going to clear that $20 million mark on the roster again, but big time stuff. What's your takeaway? You know, you and I had conversed privately, and you know that my expectation was that he would go to Kentucky. Finally, he has. They got it done. Maybe it was a little bit, you know, 12 hours delayed from what we might have thought. But how does this news hit you? And Kentucky going to be in your top 25 and one GP?
Kentucky will be in the top 25 and one. Update coming later today. They had not been in there for a while, but the roster in place now is clearly, to me, top 20. I don't think quite top 10, but somewhere 10 to 20 range. I'll land them in there nicely. I don't think you got to be a college basketball insider to understand what happened here. I think you framed it properly. The most desperate program in this set of circumstances with the most money got the deal done. That's what happened here. Tommy Lloyd did not need to get this done to have a peaceful next 5 months. He's fine. Pat Kelsey did not need to get this done to have a peaceful next 5 months. He's fine. TJ Otzelberger, Rick Pitino did not need to get this done to have a great next 5 months. They're good. Mark Pope did. And I think the way you framed it is the most accurate way to frame it. He just spent $6 million or whatever to buy 5 months of peace and happiness and calmness. And then we're going to play the games and it can get wild real quick.
We'll wait. Let's just wait for the games. And we'll talk about the roster in a second. But at least in the here and now, GP, like, everything's settled. And by the way, this news broke, I think, within 20 minutes of Kentucky getting knocked out of the World Series of Baseball against West Virginia. So it was an emotional swing for Big Blue Nation.
Yes. We were locked in. Kentucky's like star hitter. Like, you know, I grew up with his dad and his uncle. He graduated high school where my little guys go to school now. So we were locked in at the house. We had a fun night watching college baseball last night. And then this news breaks. And when the season starts, you're going to play the games and you better do that well or else it'll get nasty quick. That's not a secret. But my larger point is it could be nasty right now. On June 2nd, 2026, it could be very tough today to be Mark Pope as the Kentucky basketball coach. It might be easy to be Mark Pope inside your house today, no matter what happened last night. But Mark Pope outside your house today would have been tough if this decision went a different way. And so I commend them for getting it done. There had been a lot of questions about swings and misses and things they could not get done. So if we're going to spend any energy discussing that, spend the same type of energy discussing this. At the end of the day, they did what they needed to do to get themselves in a place to get that program back to where it needs to be so that you can ensure they're not making a coaching change next March. They're in a good place now. It's not the best roster in the country, but it's a good enough roster to calm your fan base down and give you a shot to reasonably think you can compete at or near the top of the SEC. And if you're competing at or near the top of the SEC, you're competing for a national championship.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Our live poll right now, we'll get to the results here at the end of the segment, is what people watching the show think the eventual seed for Kentucky will be next season. Mark Pope, by the way, they were ready. This was Momcilovic announced exactly at 10 Eastern. And I want to say this tweet from Pope went out within minutes of that. This is all of 10 seconds. It's a still image of Mark Pope on the beach, sunglasses on, drink in hand. Joshua, he says he doesn't have the audio. Can you just show this? He played it along with 50 Cent's Many Men. Wish death upon me. Look at this picture of Pope. When's the last time you ever sat next to that much fruit, GP?
I mean, we went to the market on on Saturday. I got a fridge full of fruit. We're a fruit household. We constantly have a fridge full of fruit in our home.
All right. He's holding, by the way, if you really pinch in there, a lot of Pope thigh. A lot of Pope thigh, by the way. We've got some watermelon, grapes, apples, pineapples, obviously. Is that an oversized mango? I'm not sure what's going on. Not enough exotic fruit. I don't think Mark Pope is in the country at the moment, by the way. I think I don't know where he is. Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, Aruba, who knows? But as of yesterday, he was not stateside.
They'd have had Border Patrol on his ass when he got back if he wouldn't have got this done.
I know.
He might have had real problems. A daring move
by him. He left the country without a surefire commitment from the most important prospect in the transfer portal the entire offseason. But they got it done. They got it done.
There was another picture, too, like beach and family stuff. And I was like, that I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, he has this wrapped up.
Yes, when that went out. Yeah.
Because, like, you can't. Not.
His daughter apparently posted it. This is Kentucky's fan base. Like they follow the entire Pope family on all socials. Why wouldn't they? Obviously. But then
if you want to know why Dusty May is the coach at Michigan, it's because the fan base follows the entire family on social media.
Exactly. But as these things would typically go,
I don't even follow my entire family on social media.
It's just wild to me. But I guess his daughter posted some photo of them on the beach or whatever. And then people are going to Kentucky fans will read into anything and everything as they should.
The way I read into that is Mark Pope is not a dumb person. And there is no way you let that type of picture get out the moment before Pat Kelsey grabs the second ranked transfer out of the portal. So as soon as I saw that picture, I was like, well, I mean, I think we already knew where this was probably headed, but that was confirmation enough for me because you cannot let that happen if you're uneasy at all.
This picture, by the way, I mean, just the dude was getting slaughtered by his fan base. And then he posts this. Good for Mike Pope. He deserves a happy week.
Of course he does. But like it was ugly for a minute and it will eventually get ugly again. And if you don't believe me, text John Calipari. And if you don't believe him, text Tubby Smith. Like this is just sort of the nature of the thing. God bless. I know sometimes Kentucky fans are like, you know, the relationship between the fan base and John Calipari deteriorated. And I gathered there was some of that kind of conversation connected to Mark Pope. And I get it. But like on a human level, I would struggle with that as well. Like these people, the same people telling me they love me and then telling me they hate me every 3 months. That would drive me insane. I would not do well. John Calipari handled that stuff and Mark Pope handles that stuff way better than I would handle that stuff. Cause like, if I see one person I kind of know in a chat somewhere, say one thing I kind of don't like one time, I'm like, F that person forever. I hate them. I hate them so much. and that is like your day to day life.
Oh yeah.
Like if you're the Kentucky coach, your best friends might like you one day and want you fired the next. That's a hard way to just go through life, I think. But the paycheck seems nice.
Let's talk about the roster and how it sets up to be here. So Kentucky's likely starting lineup, Malachi Marino starting at the five. Momcilovic, I guess, at the four with Cam Williams at the three. Although they've got an interesting situation with their two forwards and their two guards. So Williams and Momcilovic kind of interchangeable in terms of how they could be used. And the same goes for their starting backcourt. Zoom Diallo, the transfer from Washington, and Alex Wilkins, the transfer from Furman. They're both ball dominant, like lead guards. I think the offense can be quite fun. I'm interested to see how the Wilkins and Diallo dynamic works. Who's going to be the primary ball handler? And just talking to a variety of folks that know their games particularly well and having watched a little bit of both of them, they just seem to function best with the ball in their hands and they're both going to be starting. So that'll be a scheme thing that they've got to figure out overall. I would think that's going to be the starting five on day one. And then they've got a few returning names. As I was prepping for Momcilovic to commit to Kentucky and just kind of running through the roster one more time, the biggest, the starkest difference, GP, from this to the Calipari era, and there are so many, they only have two high school prospects committed. They're both outside the top 100. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, oh man, the times have changed. And that's not even I'm not even saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but man, oh man, the time has changed. And as I wrote in the column, you know, after missing on Stokes, Rob Wright, Kentucky fans thought they were getting him. I thought they were getting Donnie Freeman. who wound up going to St. John's instead, and some others as well. This just didn't, we've talked about this on the show, like this just did not happen at UK because it was Kentucky under Cal because of what he could do. And that's why the fan base had really, you know, not handled it well. And that was completely understandable, by the way. But I do like the roster. I think it is in the conversation to be top 25. I've seen some folks put out there that it's not top 20 quality. You said that as well. Evan Mia Kawa. So he put out about 20 minutes after this went public, his tweet said, Kentucky roster outlook. Milan Momchilovic completes Mark Pope's roster. An absolutely massive ad. Kentucky should now be around a top 10 roster in the preseason, according to evanmia.com. Don't sleep on Malachi Marino. He could have a massive sophomore year for UK. I agree with that. I actually think Marino will be a handful of the best sophomores in the sport next season. But this is just Evan's projections, his database, top 10 potentially. That is lofty. I can't go there. I can't go from Kentucky being wherever they were before they got Momchilovic, you know, right. Anywhere yeah, I don't, that's 30 to 40, wherever it was to top 10. That is not saying they can't get there, GP, but that's like Evan is putting with his model. He's more aggressive than anyone. They've got Usman Njai, who will probably, you know, be the biggest minutes getter off the bench there as well. I don't know. We'll see. I do my rankings in October. I don't know where I'm gonna have Kentucky then. Momchilovic in the fold with Marino back. And again, just a massive 8-day span for Kentucky. You cannot overstate how big that was. I think this has got to probably be a top 25 roster, but I do want to see how Pope kind of works all this stuff together with the stuff with the guards I just mentioned. And then they don't have like overwhelming size and physicality up front just yet. They should be fun. They should score a ton. I want to see Momchilovic be a flamethrower, come in and be a guy that drops 19 a game and shoots 45% from beyond the arc. If he can do that, then they've got some real promise there. But I still think there's still a lot of curiosity and uncertainty around this roster for all of the impact that Momchilovic's addition obviously brings.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with Evan or his model or any model, but if yesterday morning I had Kentucky at the very least 27th, so outside of the top 25 and one, at the very least 27th, I can't then jump them to 10 because of the addition of a second team all Big 12 guy, which, by the way, that is what we're talking about here. He was ninth. If you want to go back to evanmia.com, he was ninth in BPR in the Big 12 last season, Momchilovic. And so great player, incredible shooter. But if you want to go from unranked to top 10, I think you got to add Victor Wembanyama as opposed to Milan Momchilovic. And honestly, I think that sort of helps explain for Iowa State fans, like, and this is also a reminder, like there are levels to this. You know, like Iowa State is an incredible college basketball program.
Yes.
Great coach, great tradition, Hilton Magic, all that stuff. They just weren't going to spend $6 million on Milan Momchilovic, period.
Yeah.
And like, this is a little bit like,
and I've proven that they don't really need to. Like, they would have been better with him. Don't get me wrong. But like, TJ Altenberger has passed the test every single season so far.
Right.
So I don't fault him on that. And they just have certain limitations. He doesn't even speak around it, nor should he have to.
So like, yeah, TJ, I think he loves Momchilovic and would love to have him back. Mm-hmm. But if the price is $6 million, you know, I don't know that that's a program that has that type of money to throw around. And if they do, that's not where they wanted to throw it around. That, I don't think that's where they found value. And it kind of reminds me a little bit. I don't think it's too different than this. I think Bill Self would have liked to have Florey Badunga back, but not at that price. Right. I don't think Bill Self would have paid what Louisville paid to get Badunga back.
Is in the $5 million range, and they just weren't going to go there.
Yeah. They're just not going to go there with him. Now they might go there with somebody else, but they weren't going to go. I have found this to be a trend. If you are an awesome transfer portal guy, you are probably worth more to a school that's never had you than the school that just had you at a reduced price. That's a real thing that's happening.
Generally speaking, that is absolutely the case there. And I'll be interested to see how Iowa State does next season without him. By the way, coincidentally, ironically enough, Kentucky's last game came against Iowa State with Milan Momchilovic on the floor. They got knocked out of the tournament by Iowa State. Momchilovic had 20 in that game. They were blowed out. That's really what set into motion until the past 8 days. All of the angst and anxiety around Mark Pope and that, in that program. And I'm sure even within that staff as well. By the way, GP, in my story from overnight, when I was just prepping and I was trying to get I was just doing a little bit of research. This stunned me. Do you realize, Kentucky fans that are diehards probably realize this, but if I knew it, I just forgot it. But I went back and looked at the entire history. Do you realize that Kentucky last made the Elite Eight in 2019, which means the earliest they could get back is obviously 2027, if they even do that. So it's a guaranteed at least an 8-year gap. I know we didn't have that 1 year with COVID and the tournament, all that stuff, but an 8-year gap. Kentucky right now, this is mind-blowing to me, right now is in the midst of its longest Elite Eight drought in the history of the tournament. You go back to the tournament starting in 1939, not... No, not 1979, 1939. Kentucky has never gone this long between being one of the final eight teams remaining in the NCAA tournament. I think that also helps explain a lot of the conversation around Mark Pope and everything there. You get Momchilovic, hopefully you can do a good job and you can resolve those issues, but he still enters next season on the hot seat. They're going to have a change at athletic director. There's just going to be a lot of institutional changes that are forthcoming with that athletic department over the next X number of months there. And yet, despite all of that, Josh has the...
I'm still just a rat in a cage.
There you go. Yes. I don't think I've got that drop. What do I have here? Hold on. This is deep in my...
You just said despite, my head went straight there.
Yeah. What do I have here?
The world is a
I've got the whole song here, I think. I don't think I've got the I don't think I've got the whole song in there. Anyway, okay. Well, Kentucky fans have absolutely logged on to the show this morning. We appreciate you. Why? Live poll, YouTube. What seed will Kentucky get next season in the NCAA tournament as a result of adding Milan Momchilovic? Three seed or better, 51%.
Okay, let's go. Go Big Blue.
Four or five seed, 30%. So 80% of our live audience says Kentucky is a five seed or better next season. Six or seven seed, 12%. And then eight seed or worse, 8% of...
All right, Mark, if you're sitting on the beach watching, you know what you got to do. You know where your fan base has set the standard.
Five seed or better, 80%.
Five seed or better, and then don't lose to St. Peter's.
Correct. Let's just guess it right now, and then we can wrap however you want to wrap. Kentucky seed on Selection Sunday in a 76-team NCAA tournament. I'll go first. I will say, put me with Kentucky on... I don't want to yuck the yum, as the kids say. Put me as Kentucky on the five line. I'll say they're the final five seed on Selection Sunday next year. What say you?
I was going to say four in the four. If I were answering the poll, I would say four or five. Specific. In that four or five range.
Yeah, well, no, four or five. It's not the same. Four or five.
Well, I'm trying to figure out exactly where I'm going to slot them in the top 25 and one here. So I'm looking at this now. It's right on the four or five line.
If they're 16 or better, they're a four.
I understand division.
Well.
I understand four times four and all that stuff. All right.
Okay.
They're either going to be I'm going to have them in that 13, 14, 15, 16, right, 17 range somewhere.
You got them as a four. There we go.
Mark Pope, you know what you have to do. The standard has been set.
It has. As for what happens, we'll get to that once the game starts. Congratulations, Mark Pope, Kentucky fans. This also just makes the sport more interesting that we've got a good player going to a team like this. One more team to consider that will be relevant heading into next season.
That's right. All right. We got another back and forth series in the works between two big brands, Arizona and Arkansas. They go play basketball against each other. Non-league scheduling. Norlander had the scoop this morning. I'll get him to walk us through it next. First, word partners. News from Tuesday morning. The headlines at CBSSports.com. Arizona and Arkansas have agreed to a 3-year series. Coach Tommy and Coach Cal Norlander, give us the details. Where and when will we watch Wildcats from different states and time zones do battle on the court?
Yeah, you've heard of cats and dogs living together. This is cats and hogs playing together. It's at least 3 years, potentially and possibly/probably four, but the fourth year still details to be determined. So Love to see this. Next season, Arizona, Arkansas are going to play each other in Phoenix on December 19th. That's at the Mortgage Matchup Center. Everyone knows what the Mortgage Matchup Center
is. They changed that. Is that where the Suns play?
It is. That's where the Suns
play. They changed that. That thing name gets changed more than
Diddy. I would love to know, just out of morbid curiosity, maybe not even morbid, just curiosity, what NBA arena or arena that hosts a professional American sports franchise has had the most sponsorship name changes over the past 25 years? Because this one feels like it's got to be in the top three.
Now the one in St. Louis, it felt like used to change all the time.
That's true. Let me.
Okay, let's get the history of this place.
All right, you go ahead. You bring up the history.
You talk. You explain to people the important stuff. The
series. You go ahead.
I'm going to research the arena over here.
Mortgage Matchup Center.
Yeah, I got it.
Just like, does it
you do your thing, I'll do mine.
I mean, does it get more corporate bland naming than that? But that's where the game's going to be played, December 19th of next season. Then Arizona will play at Arkansas, Bud Walton Arena, for the 2027-2028 season. Figure that'll probably be somewhere in November of 27. And then Arkansas will go to Tucson. Arizona will have the hosting duties sometime in November or December of 2028. And then there is a fourth year option as a part of this deal. The teams have verbally agreed. The contracts are not all in, but they've been talking here for a number of weeks. And the fourth year, if/when it comes to be, will be somewhere closer to Arkansas's territory. It will not be at Arkansas, because what you can see here is next year is a quote-unquote neutral site game that's in the state of Arizona. Then they'll play at Arkansas's joint. Then they'll play at Arizona's joint. And then in year four, the idea is that they would travel and play somewhere relatively close to Arkansas's territory. Hell, maybe it'll wind up being at FedEx Forum or something relatively in GP's backyard. But that's all to be determined. The fourth year, we don't know on this. But these are two teams that GP has, I think, in his top 10 at this point. They set up well. Even if you want to say that's an aggressive outlook, like, they're going to be top 15 teams next season. They just met in the Sweet 16. The thing that amazes me about this is that, and credit to Calipari for this, they just met in the Sweet 16. In that game, Arkansas got mowed down by Arizona. I was there. I was out in San Jose. Final score 109-88. 109. I mean, it was hot knife through soft butter situation for Arizona on the Hogs. In that game, just as a reminder, Arizona had six players score at least 14 points. That had never happened in the history of any game in the NCAA tournament. Arizona did it to Arkansas. Arizona shot 63.7% from the field. That was the second best shooting performance in overall field goal percentage in any Sweet 16 game over the past 26 years. And Arizona was the first team to ever, in a tournament game, make at least 6% of its shots, 60% of its threes, and make 30 made free throws in a tournament game. They had never done that. And Cal took that lashing and said, yes, sir, I'll have some more. In fact, I happened to be walking and talking with Tommy after that win, and Cal was going to the press conference. And in defeat, Cal was awesome. He's like, I'm going to paraphrase here because it's after the fact, but he was basically in awe of how good it, he's like, I knew you guys were good. Didn't realize you'd be that good. You can go and win this national title, all this stuff. It was a really cool moment in interaction of all about 25, 30 seconds there. And good on Cal for doing it, leaning into it. Got two high profile programs who have not played GP in the regular season since 1995 was the last time these two teams played. I do not have an audio drop for 1995. If anyone knows a song that name that references 1995 specifically, send it along. I'll add it to the audio board. But cool little scheduling coup. And we have another NCAA tournament rematch happening next season in college basketball. Keep in mind, we have UConn's doing this with Duke. UConn's doing this with Michigan. UConn's doing this with Illinois. And now we have Arizona and Arkansas adding to the trend. Very, very cool stuff. We'll have to wait until the very end of the non-conference season, that week of Christmas. But nonetheless, they're leaning into it, and I love to see it.
I love get two big brands on a basketball court together. Get and applaud it. You know me. I don't want to be repetitive any more than I naturally am. I would prefer this to be Fayetteville, Tucson, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, at least we get that. And this isn't just too neutral. So I love to see that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this splits the difference. It's better than it could have been. I guess that's one way to look at it. But this type of thing was among the biggest topics of conversation at Big 12 spring meetings last week. Okay. It was interesting hearing coaches discuss NIL and general managers and how they go about it, because I was standing at one point with, you know, five of the best coaches in the sport, like Final Four coaches, current Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, whole deal. And it was interesting to me how different and strongly their opinions were on certain things. Like, should you have a general manager or not? Was it like two of the very best coaches in the sport have very different opinions about this? And if you have a general manager, how much control? What should the response? I was just fascinated with that part of it. But another conversation that was just a constant was non-conference scheduling flexibility and how many games should you be playing in your league? And within the same league, they can't even get a consensus, because what is good for Arizona and Kansas might not be good for Oklahoma State and Utah, right? Yep. And if you're Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, you want your programs to have flexibility to schedule stuff like this. But the more games they take off campus, the less control the Big 12 has over them. So you've got a league office pushing for, if you guys are going to keep doing neutral courts to, and we understand why, big games, lots of money, we understand it. But if you're going to keep doing that, we got to get inventory on the back end. And the only way we can do that now, if you're going to keep taking games to neutral courts, is we got to have more conference games. And then you got, I don't want to put names on it, but the biggest brands in the Big 12, they would like to stay at 18. Because they want to be able to do these types of things as opposed to play two more Big 12 games that don't move the needle necessarily the way, if you create something like this, a needle can be moved. So there's a real push-pull within leagues right now from some of the most powerful coaches. Because just trust me when I tell you, everybody looked at what John Shire and Duke just pulled off and is trying and is now asking themselves two questions. Are we a candidate to do something like that? And if so, how do we pull it off? And so those conversations were just as heated last week, and I'm sure in the SEC and other places as any conversations going on right now in terms of like inside college basketball coaching back and forth stuff.
Yeah. I checked in with someone Thursday, maybe Friday, just to get a sense of like, okay, next season the Big 12 will play 18 league games again, which is my preference, by the way. I think I'd rather have 18 than 20.
I can just tell you matter-of-factly, there's not a consensus within the league. Yeah. Some coaches would rather play 20.
Yeah.
Some would hate anything more than 18.
Yes.
The league wants 20 and would probably be happy to go to 22 if you'd let them.
Oh, God, please.
They're never going to 22. I don't want to say never, but the coaches that'll be a fight. But the push-pull right now is the league and some of the bottom-ish programs wouldn't mind 20, would like 20. Because it's just easier and better for them. But the biggest brands, I think, mostly want 18.
I hope they stick with 18. One source that's very familiar with all this stuff told me that they put it at 60% as of right now that they'll eventually get back to 20. But we'll see. 60% is not 70. It's not 90. It's not 95. That's some good intel from GP there. And I would just prefer 18. Unless you can do a round robin. The Big East does a double round robin. And that completely makes sense. Big East should go to 20 because then you got everyone playing each other twice. All these other leagues are too big. Keep it at 18. Give more opportunities for non-conference scheduling and empower more programs that matter, the top 30 or so schools in the country, to play these kind of games, because now we've gone from 31 to 32 regular season games. You now have 76 freaking teams that are getting in this tournament. There's no excuse for these coaches not to schedule as ambitiously and as creatively as possible. By keeping it at 18 games versus 20, I think you allow for more opportunity there. So I love the fact that we're getting this game. It'll be neutral next season. Then we go home and homes. But both coaches leaned into it, and good on them for doing so. This is another really, really good situation. Maybe sometime soon we'll just give a refresher for our audience on just, you know, 15 or 20 of the most notable non-conference games that are on tap for next season. But we are building out again another really, really good non-con season. You'll recall, every week, listeners, we went into this, GP. Last season, there were more non-conference ranked-on-ranked matchups. I think we finished at 47, maybe 46. These were ranked games between teams that did not face each other in conference play. There were more instances of that last season than any season in the history of college basketball. I don't know if next season can match or best that, but I think we're going to get close, and that's a really, really good sign because obviously we got to have as much interesting inventory as possible in November and December for college hoops.
So Arizona, Arkansas will at least one time be played inside the Mortgage Matchup Center.
Yeah, what's the history? What do you got here? What's the history? I'm telling you, I know.
Premium time.
Stick Resort. I know it was the Talking Stick Resort.
I'll never forget Talking Stick. How many different names has the Mortgage Matchup Center had since it opened in 1992 at the cost of $89 million? Oh, buddy, you can't get that now. Not for 89, not with the straight closed.
That's true. As a fellow who grew up loving, obviously, Jordan and the Bulls, I remember, I was hoping you were going to trivia time me that, because I remember watching Bulls Suns 93 finals and them doing the NBC doing the shots of the arena, and it was like this brand new arena. So I would have guessed, I think I might have guessed
right around
91. So yeah. Anyway, how many times has it changed?
Yeah, how many different names has it had? Like you could call Diddy. Or Puff Daddy, yep. Or Sean Combs.
We can move along. Yep.
How many?
I'm going to say 7 name changes in 33 years.
Ding, ding, ding. Let's 7. Go! 7. All right. Let's see how smart you are. Name them.
no shots.
You got the Mortgage Matchup Center.
I got Talking Stick. That's all I got.
Talking Stick is great.
I'll say Suns Arena was one of them.
Talking Stick Resort Arena, Phoenix Suns Arena.
Okay, give it to me.
That's when you know you got a bad sales staff, when you're calling, you're building the Phoenix Suns Arena. Yo, somebody better sell this bitch. It's Phoenix
How
Suns Arena.
How charming. You name the building after the team that plays inside of it.
Okay, we've got Mortgage Matchup Center, Talking Stick Resorts Arena, Phoenix Suns Arena.
Okay.
It has also been America West Arena.
I think I knew that.
That's the debut. That's the original.
Yeah. There we go.
America West Arena.
What's America West, by the way?
I think it was an airline, maybe.
Ooh.
But this is one of my big. This is one of my big things. Right now, I'm at FedEx Forum.
Yeah, you are.
Perfect.
One word, by the way, FedEx Forum.
Thank you. And it's not the FedEx Forum. The Grizzlies don't play inside the FedEx Forum. They play inside FedEx Forum. Grizzlies Warriors inside FedEx Forum, not at the FedEx Forum. And FedEx Forum is all smushed together one word. But my point, nobody has to ask, what does FedEx Forum mean? You know what my favorite one is? Smoothie King Center. I love Smoothie
New
King.
New Orleans. Yeah.
Yes. Everybody knows what a Smoothie King is. Now, should you really be naming your arena after a milkshake? I don't know. But
of course.
Of course. Let's go with of course, because they've got that Hulk. I tell you what. You talk about the prices, the Strait of Hormuz. I went to Smoothie King the other day.
Don't even tell me you needed to
3
pay
smoothies. You ready for this? I'm not exaggerating.
I'm disgusted if this number is above $35.
3 smoothies, small for me, because I'm trying to, watch myself a little bit.
Okay.
My little guy's got the big ones, whatever. Add it all up, tax and the whole deal. They said, GP, we're going to ring your card up. I said, sure, no problem. It was 30 plus for 3 smoothies. I was like, what is going on in the Strait that smoothies now cost $40? I don't know what was it. So I like an arena where I don't have to wonder what's going on with you.
Yeah.
And there's too many times in Phoenix, I don't know what's going on with them. America West Arena. I'm going to call it an airline, but I can't say for sure. U.S. Airways Center.
Yeah, of course. The U.S. Airways Center. Of course. Yeah.
They were PHX Arena. Like an airport code.
Yeah, it is.
You know you got a bad sales staff when you're naming your arena after an airport code. And the Footprint Center. They were the Footprint Center.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but what is the Footprint Center? Ready? What Footprint Center? What does that mean?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Somebody at Footprint paid money for that, and we don't know what they do. Correct. What is the point? I know what they do at Smoothie King. They charge me $75 for some strawberries and milk and ice. Okay? I know what they do. I know what they do at FedEx Forum. They were overnight to anywhere in the world for a beautiful price, the most affordable shipping price you could ever have. I know what's going on at FedEx Forum.
Yep.
What on earth is Footprint doing?
I'm at a loss. I got no idea.
I bet they look up your DNA. Let's see what Footprint does. What does Footprint do?
You have a blast with that. You want to Google that right now?
Yeah. What does Footprint do?
Pretty sure GP needed to be gone by now, but all right, sounds good.
Plant-based fiber technology and material science.
There you go.
You ready? Now I know what Footprint does.
Yeah, Footprint Company. Oh yeah, there we go.
Still have no idea what that even means. That
Footprint could be written a material science organization that engineers fiber-based packaging in an effort to address the environmental crisis of plastic pollution.
Is this the thing Kawhi Leonard was involved in? Is this the thing Pablo caught Kawhi with?
No. No, that was aspiration. Ah. The trees and all that. Plant the trees.
There's so many businesses out there, aren't there?
Hell of a name. Footprint was founded by Troy Swope. Hell of a name. Troy, what's your name? Troy Swope. Good on him. This sounds like a company with really good intentions and making the world a better place.
Yeah.
In 2021, Footprint was named a CNBC Disruptor 50 company.
What are they doing today? What are they doing right now?
I don't know, man.
They've probably been replaced by robots.
I hope not.
They've probably been replaced by robots.
I certainly hope not. You know what? I think the Suns drafted DeAndre Ayton. Footprint said, we got to get out of here. We can't be associated with this.
They changed that name a lot. I just wish they'd settle down in Phoenix. Just settle down. Settle on a name. Pick a name.
We got a name. What is it called? The Mortgage Matchup Center now?
And like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Who wants their mortgages matched up?
I know, exactly.
I want my mortgages paid off.
Yeah, exactly.
I want my arena to be called the Mortgage Payoff Center. Yeah.
Zero Mortgage Center. That's what
Zero we center. No Mortgage Center. What is a mortgage match? Who wants
I don't know. It's just,
let's get my mortgage and match it up against your mortgage.
These insurance
I think your mortgage would fare against my mortgage.
Just atrocious.
What are they doing? Who names this stuff?
People hop on a bunch of meetings. They get in a room and they say, here's what we're going to do.
Well, they better not ever let me in there because I'm going to hold my hand up and go, they're not good.
That's what you're going to do.
This is just, I don't know what's happening. Anyway, have we done enough today?
That's a show. I did not need to bail for my allergies, which is great.
Hey, that is great. Congratulations. I didn't sneeze one time. Hope you noticed.
I did. Now I really, at some point, I need you to sneeze on the show.
Is weird. I will just, like going through life, you will just sneeze at random parts of the day.
Oh, yeah.
But never on TV. I don't think I've ever sneezed on TV. Why do you think that is?
Don't know. I've been caught with a bad cough though. You ever get caught on?
Oh, of course. I've done that. I've done entire seasons where I can't speak.
That's true. I never have to sneeze, but I have serious issues actually sometimes talking on this podcast for.
I've done entire seasons where I can't speak, but I've never sneezed. I've never sneezed.
Tell you what's a thrill ride, driving in traffic and a big sneeze comes on. Has that ever happened to you behind the wheel?
Bro,
you gotta let one out. Woo!
I drive like this. I already told you.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
I drive like this every day. I got myself driving back. They took it away for a whole week. I don't even take away my son's iPhone when he fails a spelling test for a week. They took my driving technology away for a whole week. I couldn't wait to get it back.
Every show, the audience gets more and more respect for you. So
for a whole week, they were like, I just think you could just take technology from somebody. I purchased that. You can't just take it from me. They took it away from me, but I got it back now, and I've been better. I've been better.
So Josh, someone forwarded me. Someone commented. I don't know if it was in the tweet. I think someone maybe tweeted at me. Someone got sent it. It sent it to me like last week, and the comment was. It really like made me laugh. It was just the straightforwardness. One sentence. It was something like. GP taking a nap going 80 miles per hour is absolutely wild or something like
bro,
that.
Bro, I fall asleep
just
all the time. I cannot stay awake in my car anymore. Now I think it's a mental thing. It's like I will lay in bed and just stay ridiculous. Awake.
You're narcoleptic going down the highway. It should not be a thing. Should not be a thing. Just
look, I sent y'all that picture. I told you they took it away. Okay. Look at it. They temporarily took my stuff away, but I got it back now. I'm good. But like, I will lay on the couch and be like, I need to fall asleep and I can't fall asleep. But I get in my car immediately. I'm out.
Idiotic, dude. I don't know. I don't know how you get there. I don't. And knowing you and how you, I don't even know how you do that.
I'll show you how. You put sunglasses on so those cameras can't tell your eyes are closed. That's the first thing you do. You take your hat and you put it just like this. And then you go.
GP.
And you do one of those every once in a while. You do one of those, you go, oh, okay.
Okay.
There's a truck.
I'm snagging that. I'm snagging that screenshot from the note.
This is going to be viral if the worst thing ever happens.
Of course.
I'm trusting. Hey.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
They told me I could trust the technology. I'm trusting it. I'm really trusting it. I'm trusting it more than most. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. It's Terry Teagle's a legend. Huck Larnell Hormuz.
I don't. I'm not optimistic about this Hormuz situation.
I'm not either.
I'm not. I saw something where someone, maybe this is an economist, it could be no one, honestly. It got shared plenty. For every day that the strait is closed, it will take the America. They estimate it will take the American economy like a week to recover, to return to normalcy. We're on track for like July of 2028 at this point.
We'll have an expansion. By then, we'll have a 96-team tournament. Gas prices finally be coming back down.
I'll talk to you later this week, Reggie.
Till then, take care.
Paramount Podcasts.